Now, Psalm 66 is our study this evening, and I'm entitling this message from the words found in verse 16, if you want to take a peek over there for just a moment, what He has done for my soul. Think of it. Sins forgiven. Righteousness imputed. Justified freely by His grace in God's sight. Oh, I tell you, we can go for a long time talking about what He hath done for us. Now, this is every believer's testimony. It's not what we have done for Him. You remember those found in Matthew 7? They came before the Lord and said, "We have done many wonderful works in Thy name. We preached in Your name. We cast out demons in Your name. We have done. We have done. We have done." What's wrong with that? It's not what He had done. Remember what the Lord said to those people? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me." You see, our testimony as believers of God's sovereign and saving grace is not what we have done for Him. Now, it's telling, very telling, if you hear someone give their testimony as to what they say and who they talk about. The believer's testimony is what He has done for us. Now, I like this scripture. It's one of my favorites, found in 2 Timothy 1:9. Don't turn. Let me just see if I can quote it. When Paul writes his last words back to young Timothy, and said, "Timothy, now don't be ashamed of me." Paul was in prison when he writes this. He said, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of me or of His gospel, for it is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose." These two words, purpose and grace. Purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now, that's my testimony. That's my testimony. Here's another one of my favorite scriptures, found in the Revelation chapter 1, I believe it is, when the redeemed in glory sing praises unto the Lord. It's unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. To Him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever. You see, they declare all that God has done for them in Christ. He loved us. We didn't love Him first. We love Him only because He first loved us. We didn't wash ourselves. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. That's our testimony by His grace. And that's the story we love to tell. It's His story. All of our salvation, therefore, is of the Lord. God never saved a sinner by accident. Every sinner God saves, He saves by purpose and grace. You just didn't one day bump into the gospel. The gospel just didn't. I'm talking about the gospel of God's grace. You didn't come across that by accident. You just didn't bump into it. God crossed your path with the truth. And He broke your heart with the truth. And He revealed the truth unto your heart. Therefore, when you hear somebody lie on God and preach another gospel, well, you won't have that. As the psalmist said, "Through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now, it's right to hate what God hates. It's right to hate that which is contrary to God's truth. All of our salvation is of the Lord. He is called the author of it, and He's the finisher of it. Starts with Him, is accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and has a glorious end in Him. What is the end of our salvation? To be predestinated and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who doesn't want to be like Christ? Who doesn't want to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Every believer does. Now, there are some people in religious circles who would like to take that word out of God's word. You know, it's found in there four times. You got to deal with it or run from it. Believers rejoice in it. We rejoice in it. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. You see, our declaration, and that's the difference. That's the difference, isn't it? Between this ministry and those folks down here in the circle. Those folks down there in the circle all talking about what they've done for Jesus. What sets this ministry apart? It's not that we have some big name preacher. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I'm a nobody from nowhere. What sets this ministry apart is the message. It is not who is preaching there. It is who is preached. I'm determined, and I think you folks are too. I'm determined, as the Apostle Paul is, was, and still is, not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ crucified is all my pardon, all my salvation. He put away my sin and brought in an everlasting righteousness that He freely imputes to His people. You see, I will declare what He hath done for my soul. He's done all things. You remember our study back in Psalm 57? Psalm 57? Do you remember that? Turn over there for just a moment. That's just a few pages back. Psalm 57. But look at verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You mean to tell me, preacher, there's nothing that I need do, bring, add, say, or work to merit salvation? Lay your deadly doing down. Lay down. It would be an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ to try to bring something and try to paste that onto Him. It would be an insult, wouldn't it? Here's His perfect, completed, glorious work of salvation. And you say, well, you know, that's not enough. That's exactly what the Judaizers said. Remember, in Acts chapter 15, Paul writes about it in Galatians. Those Judaizers said, you know, Christ is just not enough. We've got to be circumcised and we've got to keep the law in order to really be saved. To be really spiritual and sanctified, you know, we've got to do these things. My friend, that's another message. That's another gospel. And those who promote it and preach it are messengers of Satan. They parade as angels of light, but they have transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. They weren't sent of God. Well, how do you know they weren't sent of God? Listen to their message. Their message doesn't glorify Christ. It's not Christ-centered. It's man-centered. Man-centered message. Now, if I don't hurry along here, I'm not going to make it through Psalm 66. But when I get talking about the things that He hath done for me, it's hard to be still. Because I love to tell the old, old story of Christ and His blessed glory. Now, let's consider verse 1 and 2 for a moment. Make a joyful noise unto God, all lands, all ye people. Sing forth the honor of His name. His name. The gospel is about the honor of His name. The gospel is not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. You see, the gospel is about Christ, His person, His work. God had given Him a name above every name, that at that name every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Sing forth praises unto His name. What a joyful sound the gospel is to a poor, needy, bankrupt, guilty sinner. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. As cool water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You're out there in the desert, dried up and bleached and parched and just so thirsty you can't even open your mouth, just shut together, and someone comes along with cool water and pours it in. Oh, how refreshing. That's what the gospel is to a sinner. It's good news. This is a faithful saying. This is worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to save sinners. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of... Who's it made up of? Sinners! The old songwriter said the sinner is a sacred thing. Joseph Hart, I believe it was. The sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost had made him so. What do I mean by that? You know, most folks don't think they're sinners. I tell you what, if God ever convinces you in your heart of what you are and who you are, not what you've done, but who you are, what you are, He'd deny them of a broken heart. He saved us such as to be of a contrite spirit. Oh, sing forth the honor of His name. The gospel is a joyful sound to a poor and needy sinner. We've seen that in the book of Psalms, Psalm 40. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, what a blessed treasure we have in Christ. In return, it's a delightful thing to worship Him and to sing forth praises unto His name. As we read in Revelation, we sing that new song of grace. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, power, both now and forever. You see, He's worthy of all honor and praise. Is He not? Therefore, look what it says in verse 3. Say unto God, oh, say unto Him, how terrible are Thy works. How tremendous are Thy works. How great art Thou in Thy works. Now, I'm going to shock you here. But now listen to me before you hammer me. Salvation is by works. Did you know that? His work. Somebody had to honor the law. Somebody had to put away sin. My substitute did. He did all the work. I just rest. I rest in what He's done. That's why the Lord said, come unto me, all you are going about here heavy laden, laboring. He said, come unto me, and rest. Rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. How terrible art Thou in Thy works. We're going to see when we get over to Psalm 111. Psalm 111 tells us all about His work. His work. Turn over there, Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111. I can't transpose this number. 111. I'm real good about doing that. You probably noticed. Switching numbers around. Can't mess this one up. 111. Look what it says, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Verse 1. In the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them that had pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Look at verse 6. He showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hand of verity, truth, and judgment. All of His commandments are sure, they stand fast forever.
done in truth and uprightness.
You see, it's all about His doing. You see, declare what He hath done for our soul.
Fearful, tremendous are His works. His works. His works. His doing. Revelation 15:3 declares, "Great and marvelous are Thy works, O Lord God." Great and marvelous are His works. How terrible art Thou in Thy work. Through the greatness, look at verse 3, through the greatness of Thy power. The greatness of His power. Now, it's just not that He has power. It's just not that He possesses some power or little power. This one who is God, God who is really God, He has the greatness of all power. It's just not that He's mighty. He's almighty. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit. They'll bow themselves unto Thee. They'll give up. How great is Thy power? How great is Thy power? Our God possesses all power in heaven and earth. None can stand in opposition to His power. None can stand up in front of His power and say, no. None can stand before God and say, uh-uh. All opposition melt into utter insignificance before His power. He has almighty power. You see, Thy people shall be made willing in the day of His power. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation, unto salvation, to everyone who believes. How do we believe? How do we believe? Well, say, well, sinners got to believe. You know, they make it sound like it's something you do. You know what it says in Ephesians chapter 1? We believe according to the working of His mighty power. That's how we believe. That's the only way we're going to believe the truth. It's by the working of His mighty power. You see, He has all power in heaven and earth. All power in heaven and earth. And that brings us to verse 4. All the earth shall worship Thee and sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name. I tell you, the only place where a sinner will truly worship is at the throne of the Almighty Sovereign God. That's the only place we'll worship. Our God is no weakling. He's no peanut God. He's no impotent God. He is no equal to us. God is God who is almighty, and before Him we bow. Before Him, because we bow before Him by His mighty power, that brings us to this thing of worship. 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 All believers desire to worship Him right now. That's why we've gathered this evening. We've come here to worship Him. We've come here to preach His gospel and to worship around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. True worship is not born of ignorance. You don't ignorantly worship God. True worship in spirit and in truth, He says in the Scripture, the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. True worship is born not of ignorance, but of truth. But of truth. True worship is born of revelation of God. It takes God to reveal God. And when God reveals Himself unto your heart, you'll say, holy and reverent is His name. His name. Now the idolaters in Paul's day in the city known as Athens, they erected an idol unto an unknown God. You know, ignorant worship is idolatry. Mark it down. We don't ignorantly worship the unknown God. He has revealed Himself unto us through the word of truth.
And because the word of truth has led us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth, therefore we worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him that way. Our services are worship services. Worship services. And that's what every believer delights in. We delight to worship the Lord. To worship Him. Now, look at verse 5. Come and see. Now come and see. Come and see. Come and see the works that we have done. Oh, just come and see how much we've done for Jesus. Now, I'm making fun, but someone needs to make fun of what's going on in the name of God. It does say come and see our works. Come and see how many souls we won for Jesus. They want us to come and see our numbers. Come and see our numbers. Come and see how many. Come and see how many attend our ministry. Oh, we've got such a big crowd. We have things for the young people, things for the old people, the young couples. I mean, we have all these things. That's what they say. They say, "Come and see all the works that we have done. Look what we have done in the name of God." And the Lord said, "Away with it! It's iniquity. It's filthy rags in God's sight." And here's what the true child of God declares. Come and see the works of God. Now, there's a stark contrast there. Night and day. Death and life. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children. Man, aren't you glad that God is terrible? He's terrible. And I mean by that, not in a negative way. I mean that He is a tremendous God. He is Almighty God. You can't preach Him too high. You can't give Him too much honor and glory. You can't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ too high. I'd like to be guilty of it. Just charge me with that. He said too much about the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll come and see the works of God. He is tremendous in His doing toward the children of men. Think of it. The Son of God became the Son of Man that sons of men might be called sons of God. He's tremendous in His doing toward the children of men. Who are the children of men? Sinners. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. He is terrible in His doing toward sinners. The salvation we have and we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ is a tremendous salvation. A tremendous salvation. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Come and see. You remember the woman at the well? In John chapter 4, when the Lord dealt with her in mercy and sent her back to her community, remember what she said? Same thing. Come and see a man who told me everything. He is terrible in his person. He's tremendous in his person. He's terrible. Ralph Varner used to preach God in His absolute sovereignty. His absolute sovereignty over all things, creation, providence, and salvation. And some young whippersnapper came along and said, "Your God's a monster." You know what old Roth said? Get ready to meet a monster. God is Almighty God. This is a God that Paul, or whoever the writer is, God the Holy Spirit, in Hebrews chapter 4, said this is a God with whom we have to do. Have to do. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He saves us in such a glorious, terrible way. In a tremendous way. That gives Him. He does it in such a way to shut out all creature merit. 100%. Shoves it all aside. And said, "Now look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you." That's what the woman at the well said. Come and see. Come and see Him in His unchanging character. God never changes. We change all the time. We change all the time. We get older. We get uglier. We change all the time. He never changes. You see, our salvation is not based upon whether we change or don't change, because we change. Our salvation is based upon His unchanging character, based upon His unchanging purpose, His grace. He's unchanging in His character. I can make good on that. He says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's unchanging. Come and see His unchanging character. Come and see His unfailing word. He said, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. Maybe it'll come to pass. No, it shall be done. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Come and see His unchanging character. Come and see His unfailing word. Come and see the success of His work. Now, I'm preaching at home through the gospel according to Isaiah. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to get to verse 4. And last week, I brought a message from Isaiah 42:1. And then today, I used Isaiah 42, verse 2 and 3. And I intended to bring a message, a 7-point message from verse 4, but never got there. That verse 4 of Isaiah 42:4 is one of my favorite scriptures in the gospel according to Isaiah. You know what it says? It says, He shall not fail. Our God is not a failure. Now, that can't be said of us. We're failures. Mark it down. We were born failures. The Lord Jesus Christ, He wasn't born a failure. He was born victorious. Where is He that's born King? That's what they said. That's what the wise men said. They didn't say, where is He that will be King one day or will be King in the millennium? No, He's born King. He was King when He got here. See, He's God incarnate, God manifest in the flesh. He is successful in His work. Write it down in bold letters upon everything the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the way of saving grace, and write these words upon it. Success. Victorious. Eternal. Glorious. His works are glorious works. He's not a defeated, frustrated reformer. He's a conquering, victorious King. And you know what? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and see. Come and see His tremendous doings. Gives us an example here in verse 6. He turned the sea into a dry land. And they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. Now, when the Israel, the nation, was delivered from Egyptian bondage over 400 years, and they stood on the bank of the Red Sea, and Moses declared unto them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God parted the ocean, parted the sea, and they went through on dry land. When they got all the way across, the enemies were destroyed. Now, do you reckon for a moment that they stood on yonder shore and said, well, look what we've done. Look what we've done. Oh, man, we parted the water. That's ridiculous, isn't it? And yet, that is exactly what's going on in pulpits today. They talk about, look what we have done. He turned the sea into dry land. Therefore, we rejoice in Him. Verse 7, He ruled by His power forever. You see, His power is not temporary. He rules. He ruleth. He ruleth. Get a hold of that word, ruleth. Now, somebody rules this universe. It's not man. It's God who created the universe. We didn't. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He ruleth. He ruleth. He ruleth. What does it mean that He rules? That means He has the absolute sovereign right, authority, to do as He will, with whom He will, when He will, for His own glory. He ruleth by power. He ruleth. He is the sovereign. He is the sovereign Lord. That is, you know the word sovereign or sovereignty is not in the Scripture? But the truth of it is, the root of the word is reign. God reigns and rules by His power. And it's not temporarily. Look at verse 7. Forever. 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 He rules. He rules. He rules. He rules. His eyes behold, because He rules. Let not the rebellious therefore exalt themselves. He rules in omnipotence, all power, and He rules by omniscience. He knows all things. He knows our thoughts afar off. That scares the hypocrite to death. But His people say in verse 8, "Oh, bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul." I like this verse. "Bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of His praise to be heard." What is the voice of His praise? I say it's the gospel of the glory of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the voice of His praise. Let it be heard. Don't try to hide the gospel. We put a sign on the front of this building that declares exactly what we preach. Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. That is, God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And whom He will, He'll harden. Don't hold back with that. Don't try to remove the offense of the cross to try to smooth the ruffled feathers of some self-righteous religious muck. Preach the gospel. Tell you, when you try to take the offense off, you remove the power. You remove the power. Oh, bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of His praise. Let's sound it forth. Let's do everything we can to preach the gospel. Let's exhaust all of our resources to preach the gospel. Let us spend everything we have, all of our time, our energy, our desires. Let us go and preach the gospel. You know, that's the charge that God has given unto us. Go on to the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the last words that Paul wrote to Timothy. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. You can't improve upon what God provided. You can't improve upon this message. Just declare it. Just declare it. Which holdeth this gospel. This gospel. The gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel holdeth our soul in life. What holds us? What holds us? The gospel holds us. What holds us here together as a group of believers? What holds us here together? What binds our heart together? What brings us together? What holds us together as believers? The gospel of God's grace. That's what holds us together. That's what binds our heart together. Which holds our soul in life, and He suffers not our feet to be moved. Remember in Jude, the book, the little book of Jude, where it says He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy? To Him be all honor and glory both now and forever. He holds our soul in life and He will not suffer our feet to be moved. Verse 10, For thou, O God, hast proved us and hast tried us as silver is tried. Saving faith will be tried. Saving faith will be proven. Not to produce faith. Trials don't produce faith. Trials prove it, whether it's real or phony. Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us. Where do these trials come from? They come from the hand of our loving Father. And they're sent our way to prove us. Peter calls them precious trials. Precious trials. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laid afflictions upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire, through the water, but Thou broughtest us out into a safe place. Is His grace sufficient for the trial? God says it is. God says it is. His grace is sufficient for every trial, for every heartache, for every need that we have. He's able to meet all our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Look at verse 13. I'll go into thy house. You remember what David said? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will go into thy house. Why does the believer desire to go into that place that's dedicated to the preaching of the gospel? To hear of Him. To hear what He has done for us. I will go into the house of the Lord with burnt offerings. And I'll pay thee what I owe you. What do we owe God? Everything. Everything. Worship. Adoration. Exaltation. We owe Him everything. Which my lips have uttered, my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I'll offer unto thee burnt sacrifices, a fatling, the best. Incense of rams will I offer, bullocks with goats. Let us never come before God without a divinely appointed, God-given, accepted burnt offering. I'm not talking about going out here and getting you a lamb. I'm talking about looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. He takes it away by bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood He obtained eternal redemption for us. Let us make sure that we only glory in Christ and Him crucified. Let us make sure we approach God only through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now come and hear, verse 16. Before come and see, now come and hear. All ye that fear God. All you that believe God. And I will declare, what He hath done for my soul. Come and see, come and hear. Two things. Come and see, come and hear. Now we get most of our information through the eye gate or the ear gate. Is that right? I like what one old boy said, I never learned anything by talking. Let us be swift to hear, slow to speak. We get all of our information through the eye gate and the ear gate. We either read it or hear it. You see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Through the hearing of the Word, blessed by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we see the Lord in His Word by God-given faith. And seeing Him, we fear God, believe Him, and we declare to others what He has done for our soul. That's exactly what the Lord told the wild gathering to do. Go home to your family and tell them how great thing God hath done. Who did he meet that day? He met God. Who crossed his path? God Almighty.
Was it a chance happening? Did the Lord cross His path just by chance, luck, fate? Oh no! This was ordained before the foundation of the world. And God crossed His path and saved them by His terrible works, by His tremendous doing. Tell how great thing the Lord had done for you. The Father in choosing us and blessing us all, spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. This is the outline from Ephesians chapter 1. You're very familiar with it. The Father choosing us in that blessed covenant of grace and giving us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the elect of God. We are chosen in Him. We declare not only what the Father has done for us, but what Christ has done for us as He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. It's in whom we have redemption, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. It says that three times when it talks about all that the Father had done in choosing us, predestinating us, being accepted in the Beloved. And then He says, all to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then when it talks about the work of the Son in whom we have redemption through His blood, we have the forgiveness of sin through the riches of His grace. All to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then when it thirdly talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, how He has called us from darkness to life, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And then it says it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm belaboring this point on purpose. It's declaring what God hath done for us. Have you got it? Do you see the difference? Is there a difference? What we preach here and what's preached out yonder, down in the circle and other places? There is a difference. There is a big difference. I'm committed to this gospel. I think you folks are too. And we declare what God hath done for us.